make Andrelton Simmons the last hitter of the ball game. Here's the 2-2 from the Red Sox closer. And a ground ball. Zhu Weilin will handle that. And the Red Sox win again. And tonight, here in Southern California, a dominating shutout, 9-0 over the Angels. That means the Red Sox have won the series regardless of what happens tomorrow. As you see there, 15-2 with a manager in his first season with the ball club, the second major league team since 1900 to do that. Another winning streak. It's now 6 in a row.
You're not going to be happy with me tonight. Let me tell you that right out of the gate, okay? You're not going to be happy because, frankly, this is getting stupid. This is really, it's getting ridiculous with the Red Sox. 9-0 winners last night in Anaheim against the Angels. The night before, they won 10-1. Like, why even play the games at this stage? It's not supposed to be this easy, okay? And it's not this easy. 15-2, the Red Sox are. They win last night 9-0 after 10-1 the night before. Wait till I give you the numbers over the last 10 games for this team, or 11 games. Holy crap. It's beyond belief. And so let me tell you, you should be thrilled, obviously, about the 15-2. You should be thrilled about it. But the reality is they are playing so far over their heads right now, it's ridiculous. It is. It's comical, frankly, because nobody is this good. Nobody. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. Bruins hockey tonight, pregame starting at 6:30. So if you want to call and talk Red Sox, you got to do it quickly. Okay, we basically have a half-hour show, and I want to get to Alex Scora, too. Those of you who listened last night heard the interview with Alex Scora, and as I went back and listened to it myself today, because it's honestly, it's hard to sort of hear it while you're doing it, so you go back and listen to it. Something struck me about Alex Scora in the course of that interview that should be of great importance to you and of great importance to the Red Sox. Okay, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But the 15-2, I mean, this is silly. And so you want to tell me that somehow this will translate into later in the year? I think you're out of your mind. I have no idea. I still don't know if they're going to make the playoffs that because they're not there yet. But I'll tell you what, they've taken a big step already in the right direction. So they've won April. They've won April, 15-2 in the month of April. And certainly they've made us feel the biggest accomplishment for the Red Sox here in the early part of the year. They have made us feel like the vibe is different. The vibe. And Alex Cora has a great deal to do with that. Do you realize, for example, and when I'm talking about that they are so far above their skis right now, it's not even funny. Do you realize the major league record for grand slams in a season by a team is 14? 14. The Red Sox have 4. They are on pace for 38. So again, put that into context. The record is 14. They're on pace for 38. Not sustainable. In the last 11 games, the Red Sox are 10-1. This basically coincides with them returning to Fenway Park. Okay, opening day, if you remember, was a cold day. They won that game 3-2. Starting the next day, in the last 10 games, the Red Sox have scored 84 runs, an average of 8.4 per contest. The only game in which they did not get at least 6 runs was that game where Chris Sale froze his shoes off. I'm just going to say something else. On the mound at Fenway Park. Okay, nobody could hit that day. Nobody could hit to the point where Sale just said, I'm throwing it up there at 88 miles an hour because I know nobody can put the bat on the ball. So again, everything is lining up for this ball club at the moment. They are on some kind of roll. I don't know what it all means in the long term, so you want to enjoy it in the short term, go ahead. But I'm telling you, don't get fooled into thinking they're this good. Frankly, I think they're setting you up a little. Don't take the cheese.
I won't take the cheese in that I'm with you in that it's going to have to, they're going to have a good postseason showing for me, you know, even if they end up winning 110 games or something ridiculous this year, they have to win that first round because, you know, the way that they got skunked these last couple of years, it's just unacceptable with all that talent on the team. But this has been enjoyable. So if that's what you mean by the vibe. Yeah. I mean, look, after that first game where it felt like it was going to be 2017 all over again, and it feels like the bullpen's a mess and the new manager might be in over his head. I was like, oh my God, this is the same damn team with a new manager and J.D. Martinez, yay. But since then, the way they've been mashing, yeah, I'm with you. It's going to be an impossible feat for them to keep that up, Maz. But it's been fun, and it does feel a little bit different. So I can understand why people are kind of geeked about the Red Sox right now.
So the only downside, Murray, is that these last two have been on the West Coast. And if you are a Red Sox fan that likes to watch every pitch of every game, and I don't know if there were many of those anymore, then you haven't stayed up for these in all probability and you've missed it.
Well, the other thing, too, is that they've been blowouts. So there's is the tap-out factor after just a handful of innings.
Right. You're in bed by the fourth inning, fifth inning, in fact, in most of these games. And again, in the last 10, they're 9-1. They've hit 320 as a team. They're averaging over eight runs a game. They are dominating the game on every level, and if you want to give Alex Cora all the credit, you can do that if you want. I think it goes well beyond that. I've always felt this team was capable of more. Okay, I don't know if this regular season is going to change that. In fact, I highly doubt it. I've always thought they were capable of more. Maybe now they are starting to come to that realization. So I'll tell you what, let's get to your calls here because I want to get to Cora, too. Again, I sort of had an epiphany about Alex Cora when I went back and listened to last night's interview with him. And I don't know if I said this last night on the air, but obviously we thank him for the time. We thank the Red Sox for the time. It's not, you know, it's not all that often that we get the manager of the Red Sox on the program. So it was kind of them to do that. Michael is in Medford. Michael, what do you got?
Well, more impressive was Cleveland's 22-game win streak 2 years ago. And they went to the World Series.
It was last year, wasn't it?
No, Houston won it last year.
No. Last year, the Indians won 22 in a row.
So the point is, that was three-quarters of the way through the season. And they would have gone further in the playoffs if that pitcher didn't get a self-inflicted wound over a drone, I believe.
Okay, that was 2 years ago, yeah. Okay. So, Mike, I'm going to let you go because you're getting it all mixed up. But the bottom line is this. A streak is a streak is a streak, but it doesn't translate into anything beyond that. Okay, that's all. It just doesn't translate into anything beyond that. And if you believe this Red Sox team is good, you should. They are good. We knew they were good. We may be finding out that they have the capacity to be great. But I don't think we're going to find it out in April. So what I'm going to tell you is pump the brakes a little bit. Okay, just pump the brakes a little. Alex is in Georgia.
Hey, do you see the pitching or the hitting cooling off first?
I would say the pitching, Alex, frankly. How about you?
I think the starters are okay, but I can see the bullpen becoming a problem more than we've already seen, even though they've kind of gotten it together from the first series against Tampa, but I just see the bullpen becoming more of a problem.
So, and the reason I say that is I think the pitchers have been so great so consistently here in the early going. Again, the only two games they've lost, one of them their bullpen blew to a horrible lineup late in the game in Tampa on opening day. We all remember that. The other one, their starting pitcher couldn't feel the ball. And they had to take him out of the game after one inning, and he gave up four runs. So realistically, they could be 17-0. Now, look, the lineup, the reason I say I think they're going to keep hitting for a while, because they're going to have good weather here on the West Coast. They're in Oakland. It'll be a little cooler in Oakland, certainly, than it is in Southern California. But then they're going to be in the Dome in Toronto. So I think as you get deeper into the season, the weather's going to warm up. It becomes more of an offensive element or favors the offense. And I just don't know that the bottom of the rotation is as good as it is pitched here in the early part of the year. That's also, I'll lean on the lineup at the moment because they are hitting the crap out of everything. Ralph's in Cranston.
Hey, Tony, you know, 15-2 is a stretch with them, but, you know, they're pitching, their starting pitching stays like it is. They're going to win the division. But, you know, they made a move. They picked up Martinez to kind of chase the Yankee power. But, you know, and I said this before, to me, Tony, I thought the best hitter, especially dollar for dollar, coming out of the free agent market was Moustakas. I was shocked teams didn't want to go after this guy. And I said before, you know, picking up Stanton for the Yankees was something. But, you know, they picked up a guy as much as a masher as he is. Yankees didn't need home runs. They didn't need him. They really didn't need him. Picked up excess. I had said before, why don't they just sign Moustakas? They went after him a little bit. They offered him a 1 year. And they could have kept Sterling Castro at second. Look at how Moustakas started. Look at how Castro's playing. I think they would have been a better club, better defensively. And, you know, hitting 40 home runs almost last year in Kansas City. Imagine what Moustakas, a pull hitter, would have been in Yankees.
Okay, so Ralph, look, I just think it's still early, and I'm letting you go because I'm trying to get to as many calls as possible here. Again, we only have a half-hour show tonight. In the long run, you may be right. To me, Mike Moustakas and Giancarlo Stanton should never be mentioned in the same breath. So now, look, you might be right. Maybe he was a better fit for their team, and ultimately it's about fits. J.D. Martinez is really starting to make a difference in the Red Sox. He averages over 300 now. He's got four home runs. He had another one last night. Do the math. He's on a 40-plus homer pace. So Martinez is starting to pay off, too. Again, it's hard to look at them right now and pick at anything. When you're winning 10-1 and 9-0 against the other team in baseball that was as hot as you were, what do you pick at? Porcello can't be touched at the moment. They're getting a grand slam every game. I'm just telling you that what you're seeing at the moment is not reality. It's not realistic. Now, the manager clearly has made a difference. Okay, clearly. And I'll tell you, what occurred to me with Alex Cora when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
There were relievers short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Betts at third, Benintendi at second, Martinez at first. High fly ball, left field. Way, way, way out of here. A grand slam for the X-Man. There's a shot. To left, carrying back, it's gone! A grand slam! The Red Sox are routing the New York Yankees tonight, 14-1. Dettaway center, Gardner back, turning around, oh, he did it! He knocked it out of here for a granny!
I'm gonna have to see what that pitch was again. It might have been a high splitter that time, and Martinez just jumped all over it to straightaway center field.
There's a shot, line to right, Calhoun back at the wall, and that ball, and it is off the wall and gone over the wall, and that is a grand slam. Devers crushing one, and that ball is out of here.
Four grand slams. Four already. They didn't hit one all of last year. And if you're looking for some indication that their approach is different, there it is. It's on the grand slams. That's the one should really tell you with the Red Sox. Four grand slams, to me, when they come up with men on base now, particularly with the bases loaded, they are really looking to do damage, and they are succeeding. I said this earlier, but it's a stat worth repeating, because I think it tells you what kind of pace the Red Sox are on, and reality, that it's just not sustainable. Okay, the Major League record for grand slams by a team in one season is 14. By a player, I think it's 6. Okay, I think Don Mattingly set the record for grand slams in a season with 6. But for a team, it's 14. 14. The Red Sox are currently on pace for 38. 38 grand slams. Okay, so it just gives you an idea of what level they are operating on right now. And I want to get to Alex Cora here in a second. I want to take a few more of your calls, and let me just say this. We don't have a ton of time, so please get right to the point so I can get as many people in as possible. Sam is in Plymouth. Go, Sam.
Hey, Maz, you're making it seem like the Sox are going to go 2-15 when the drop-off happens, which it's eventually going to happen. But if they go even a little bit less than what they are right now, they're miles ahead of the rest of the AL East.
Okay, so Sam, I don't think they're going 2-15. Their pitching is too good to go 2-15. They won 93 games the last couple of years. But I'm telling you that where they are right now, let's just say hypothetically, if they were to play 500 the rest of the year, that's 87, 88 wins. That's not enough. It's not enough to win the division. Anthony's in East Bridgewater. Anthony, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, I 100% agree with you. What I think I need to know is what is it going to take? What if this team is like a 115-win historic team? And what's it going to take to prove it to you, me, and Jim that it's going to be that kind of season?
Okay, so, Anthony, if they win 115 and they lose in the first round, are you going to be happy?
No, I'll be pissed off. I'm just curious if it's going to be, if they are a great team, Tony, what's it going to take to prove it to us?
Okay, so to me, they got to make a run at a championship. They got to make a run at it. Now, look, if they end up being the best team in baseball during the regular season, and then they don't get to the World Series, I mean, again, you got to take stock of the landscape. But to me, they have to make a run at a championship, and I would say that's at least win a series and make a run at the LCS. A legitimate run, and I said this from the beginning, prove that you can compete with the Houstons and the Yankees and, you know, the Dodgers, the teams that are World Series favorites. Cleveland's another one. Prove that you can compete and be on the same level as those teams. The last couple of years, the Red Sox have been good, but they've been looking up at the best teams, and to me, they got to move to that next level. Ben's in Somerville.
Tony, I think you're missing the point of this hot start. Nobody thinks we're going to keep up this pace, but what they're doing is showing what they are capable of when everybody is firing on all cylinders. If they hit the playoffs at a time when everybody's hot like they are now, that's when they can become World Series contenders. And why do you think they're a better team than they were last year? If they regress to a 93-win pace starting today, they're still going to be the best, probably the best team in baseball.
Okay, again, so look, using your math methods, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And then it'll come down to October again. So I'm just telling you that I think people are putting the cart ahead of the horse here a little bit. The start is sensational, but I don't think it tells us anything really yet. Okay, in 2016, remember they had that stretch of games where they scored 10 runs in an entire series of every game? And I say they scored 10 runs in all four games of a four-game series against Oakland. And in fact, I think Houston came in here and they did the same thing to them. They averaged 10 runs a game for about a week. And they got to October against a team that had no starting pitching. And they got shut down and they lost. Okay, so I'm just telling you, it's hard to extrapolate. I like what I've seen so far, too. Tell you what, let me try to squeeze in one more quickly. John in Quincy, go.
Naz, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, Devers, ever since he came into that game and knocked that home run, was it last year against the Yankees, I've always said he's got a stroke like Griffey. What do you think?
No, I'm not going that far, no. I mean, I'm not going to compare him to Ken Griffey Jr. The kid can hit, the power's real. I thought that was evident from the time he got here. That first home run he hit in Seattle last year was a towering deep smash. And you don't do that if you don't have real power. Okay, so Devers is a good player. Again, I want to see over a full season, but he's a potential game changer there too. I told you, of the three guys, J.D. Martinez, Devers, and Bogarts, they needed two of the three to hit. Two of those three. Martinez had to be one of them and one of the other two. And so far, Bogarts and Devers have both hit. So you're getting what you got, which is a team that's absolutely destroying people. Quickly on Alex Cora, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, I'll ask him to play. I can't remember if it's Cora 1 or 2, but I think it's Cora 2. This is a cut from last night. I asked Cora about his relationship with Tony La Russa thus far and whether La Russa had anything to do with Cora admitting the mistake that he made in Boston when he left J.D. Martinez in to play defense in the ninth inning. Here's what Cora's reply.
Nah, nobody brought it to my attention, man. It was right in front of me, and I'm a rookie manager. Everybody knows it. I'm learning the job, but, you know, I'm going to try to make as less mistakes possible.
Okay, so again, I'm a rookie manager. I'm learning on the job. Everybody knows that I'm going to try to make as few mistakes as possible. Okay, as few mistakes as possible. So when I was listening to that today, and when I listened to the whole interview, you know what struck me? How different Cora is from John Farrell. And I don't mean as a game manager or anything else. We don't know.
Yeah, he's more real.
But he is. Like, would Farrell answered everything like he was reading it off a press release.
Or he would add words that really didn't necessarily have to even be there.
I mean, just he wasn't human. He was robotic. This guy, again, I don't know how he's going to be in game situations.
I can't disagree with that.
I mean, with Farrell, it always felt so staged, so stiff.
Very confident and strong.
So in the case of Cora, there really is none of that. I mean, he talks about the David Price injury, and he says, and I say injury, issue with his hands. He says, look, it was a surprise to me. I didn't know.
The guy that was fresh and powerful.
You know, when you compare him to Farrell, he is, you want to talk about a likability factor? Cora is likable.
When he impacted the ground?
Again, as a guy, he's likable. And that, for that team, that is going to make such a huge difference, and it already has. Because the reality is, in baseball, you can talk all you want about a leader in the clubhouse, and it is important, believe me. I'm not dismissing that. But the person who represents the franchise more than anybody in terms of dealing with the media, of seeing him on TV, of hearing his voice, all of it, is the manager.
In terms of shape to his secondary pitches?
So I hear Cora already, and I say, I don't know how good he's going to be. But I know that I like him better than I liked Farrell, or the image of Farrell is what I should say. I mean, the it's striking to me how much more real Alex Cora is than John Farrell.
I don't know if there's anything necessarily mechanical here.
I mean, so how do you think the players are looking at it? Wow, I can talk to this guy. He'll listen, and I can relate to him. They couldn't relate to the other guy. I think
he put
apparent.
Good swings on a ball.
Coming up here next, Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame, Bob Beers, Judd Surratt from the Air Canada Center in Toronto. Prior to Game 4 of the Bruins series with the Maple Leafs, extremely important Game 4, followed by the game itself right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can't hear the radio broadcast of the Bruins anywhere else. You listen to it right here. We'll see you tomorrow.
I think we have five number ones.